Would you be willing to be thankful for the result that hasn't shown up yet? When we are grateful, it ignites a change in our body, you know, as your physiology and vitality, health, detoxifying and, you know, creating healthy hormones, or is your physiology kind of jumbled up and inflamed and beginning to be toxic and you develop disease? And that has a lot to do with your personal vibrational frequency.
Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike Dizio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike Dizio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
Folks, we have a really great one for you today. Dr. Kim shares her really, really important wisdom on relationships. She shares her journey on how a devastating breakup now brought her to the relationship of her dreams and what that was like. She talks about healing within the relationship and how important that is. She also shares a tool that helps you go inward and get clarity from within. Just so many tools, so many gems, and so many perspectives that are really going to get you excited and inspired. If you're in a relationship, I think this episode is really going to inspire you. Even more so if you're not in a relationship, I think this episode will inspire you. I know it's inspired me to thinking what's possible and a bit of a path of what needs to be done to call in the relationship that you don't have just yet. So I hope you enjoy today's episode and thank you for being here. So today's guest is a physician, best-selling author of the Mind Body Toolkit and founder of the American Institute of Mind Body Medicine. She received her board certification in emergency medicine and attended residency at Emory University. She studied mind-body medicine for decades after having experienced a severe anxiety disorder and later a severe autoimmune disease. She now assists individuals and practitioners all over the world to resolve illnesses and access the highest possibilities for vitality and abundance. She's the best-selling author of the Mind-Body Toolkit and founder of the American Institute of Mind-Body Medicine, and she assists clients all over the world to tap into their body's wisdom and reverse pain, fatigue, anxiety, and end disease. Her YouTube channel has a wealth of helpful videos, including titles such as How Your Relationships Help You Heal, Why You Don't Have the Relationships You Want, and How to Upgrade Your Relationships by Deepening Yourself. Today, we're going to talk relationships and so much more with our special guest, Dr. Kim DeRemo. Hi, Kim. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I'm glad we get to do this.
For sure. Thanks for being here. So if you want to just start out and letting our listeners know, or viewers who might not have heard of you before, do you want to just touch on your background and maybe just give a little information on sort of what's brought you to where you are today?
Yeah. So I've always been really intuitive and empathic and sort of like connected with knowing what people were thinking and feeling. And after a really powerful awakening experience when I was about 16, that was greatly amplified. I could hear people's thoughts. I could become aware of what was about to happen. It was pretty disturbing, but it was very, once I kind of integrated that, really an asset and a real gift. So I've become a physician and have understood the true root causes of why someone's chronically ill and not getting better, or why a disease is really there and what needs to happen to resolve that. And through my own, you know, growth and development through life, being intuitive, you know, you start to realize how everything is connected. And my relationships personally were a real big catalyst for me to look at myself, become aware of what needs to be refined. What am I carrying that's a lie, that's getting in the way, and become a better receiver of those relationships and those people around me, so I could have a greater vantage point on myself. And that's actually greatly changed my health, because a lot of that energy and density we carry is weighing us down. Greatly improved my career, because I've become a more authentic and more grounded person and greatly, greatly improved my relationships. And I now have a wonderful husband and partner who is truly my divine gift. And he and I have a really connected, intimate relationship that is, it's a spiritual practice to be in an authentic relationship rather than one that just kind of helps you get maybe pseudo fulfillment, but you're really still hiding from yourself. So that's been, you know, a big choice to engage in a relationship like that. So I'm excited to share about that here.
That's really great. Thank you so much for sharing. So I wanted to know, like, was there a catalyst or like a big realization or a moment in your life where it really pushed you to sort of dive into your own healing journey?
When I was in medical school, you know, we're studying about pathology and disease all day, and I developed a very severe illness, and it was kind of layered, lots of different things going on, no one can figure out. And I had, you know, chills, aches, like fatigue, severe, severe joint pain. And it was over a year before I got a diagnosis. I had studied a lot about mind-body medicine and how the mind and body are connected and how your subconscious is affecting your health. But I wasn't truly prepared for how do I actually let my body heal when I'm confronted with illness. And this was kind of like a manifestation course live because, you know, you're either manifesting health or you're manifesting disease. And it wasn't until after I got a diagnosis that I really got it, what was going on, that my body was showing me, you know, just like our relationships can be a mirror and show us, it was showing me what I was carrying of, you know, pushing myself, trying to achieve, trying to get ahead, trying to be a better person. And all of that was kind of founded on this underlying fear of failure and an idea like I was somehow inadequate or broken. So I had to like push and be better and do better. And that was really why my body was so inflamed and, you know, developed the autoimmune illness. Yeah, that's been a great learning process because I had to get into a different relationship with my body, a more of a loving and accepting relationship with my body, because the body can move energy and it can shift and change. But if you're in the way of that, because you're so afraid of what's happening, you're just going to create the inflammation that really is the disease.
Would you say perfectionism was in there? I know fear of failure for myself and perfectionism was really linked. Was there a lot of perfectionism going on there as well?
Yeah, I wouldn't have said it. I wouldn't have thought of it as perfectionism because I was so imperfect. It was like, oh, let's just forget that. But it was the same kind of a drive to always improve, keep fighting, working hard. And so in that, it was the same thing, like this constant hypervigilance.
Right, right. Very good. So touching on relationships and attachment theory, we know attachment theory has become really popular in the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, become more mainstream. I was just curious sort of when you first heard about attachment theory and kind of does it play much of a role in your understanding of yourself and relationships?
Yeah, I had learned some about attachment theory in the past. And then more recently being introduced to the work that you all are doing, my manager actually was really into this work and it made a big difference for her. And there's so many ways this has applied for me. You know, the subconscious programmings that we have play out in our relationships. It plays out in our body, it plays out in our money, it plays out in our relationships, but we can let relationships be a mirror and be a catalyst for growth. And we don't do that unless we're truly devoted to our own authenticity and devoted to, wait a minute, I don't want to be in a program. I want to live my true self. I want to live my heart. I want to actually experience love instead of just like pseudo love, attachment. And when we do make that choice or have that intention, sometimes it accelerates everything we're doing that's not that. And for me, you know, I'd had a lot of very intimate relationships, like really, really connected, even with friends. You know, my relationships in general are really very deep and meaningful. And so in my relationships with partners, you know, I always wanted to get married and have kids and the whole thing. But it wasn't until this one relationship fell apart where we were engaged, we were planning the wedding. And I was signed, sold, sealed, delivered. I was completely sold on this being the rest of my life, being my divine partner, twin flame. I was so deeply in love. We both were. And it, when that ended, basically this person broke up with me. I was so devastated. I just couldn't get my head around it. Like, no way. This is not what's happening. We're going to be together. This is my lifelong partner. But in fact, there was no way. It was really clear right up front. Like, there's no way this could ever come back together. And I remember days in having the awareness, what if this were the best thing that ever happened to me? How could this be serving me? How could this, because the level of devastation was so excruciating. I just had to go there. I couldn't believe that that was what was supposed to be. And maybe I just messed it up. No. How could this be serving me? What if this was the best thing that ever happened? And I immediately felt the greatest sense of joy I'd ever experienced up to that point in my life. And I started realizing, what if this is freeing me for something so much better that I would have never imagined? Now, I didn't know what that was, and I couldn't really have even fathomed it, but the energy of it came in, the idea of it came in, the feeling of it came in. And for the rest of that day, I just was percolating in this awe. And it was a little like, I remember my mom thinking, you're insane. Something's wrong with you. You should be miserable and devastated. But I knew, no, there's something happening here. And sure enough, that is actually the energy I'm living in my life with my husband and our children and this beautiful place we live in and work that I love and live and die for, that I get to do this every day. I just didn't realize there was only like a fraction of me in that relationship. And so when I was freed from that relationship, because I received it instead of continuing to reject it, this shouldn't be happening, I let something so much better come into my life. So I think the point is, you know, receive the moment and let those experiences, and sometimes relationships are the most painful experiences we could ever have, be a catalyst, be a mirror.
Wow, that's so inspiring and really great. How long was that period from the time sort of the devastation happened until you had that realization that really put you on the
path? It was 5 months. Okay. I said to someone at one point, oh yeah, it was a year and 5 months later. And I met my husband, and my husband's like, no, it was 5 months. Like, no. It felt like a decade. It was certainly a year and 5 months. It had to be the following year. He's like, no, Kim, it was the same year. It just was such a hard time that it felt like forever. But it really was when I cultivated, you know, I asked people who are in my Embracing Health group, which is we work with people over the course of a year to integrate health and wealth and power and manifestation. And I asked them up front, would you be willing to have gratitude for the result that hasn't yet shown up? And that was really what I did. I remember lying on my roof, looking up at the stars, saying, thank you for the partnership that hadn't shown up yet. I was so brokenhearted because there was a dating period in there. Like, I started dating guys and I was still so brokenhearted that it just was awful. I was like, everybody's a total dope. This is awful. You know, I'm miserable. I'm so lonely. And then I realized, no, Kim, you got to fall in love with yourself. You're the common denominator in every catastrophic relationship you've been in. You've got to do the work here. You've got to fall in love with yourself. And in that time, I just chose to. I love you. Thank you. I was out loud saying thank you to the universe for the unknown. Like, I didn't have evidence I had my partner, but I just let myself feel it as if it was a given. And I cried. I was so moved and into the thank you that I cried. I cried out my heartache. I cried out my fears. I cried out the idea I'm so broken, no one will ever want me. And it moved. And I felt authentic, organic, pure joy and pure unconditional love. And it was within days, I got a message from my best friend that she was going to introduce me to someone. And that's my man.
Wow. That is so inspiring. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. So I just wanted to shift gears and just ask, like, I know we learn so much from our mistakes and relationships. You know, we all make mistakes. It's easy to point to other people and sort of what they're doing wrong. Can you point to any like specific mistakes in the past that you feel like you were making and that you have now sort of understood and changed?
Yeah, I'm going to use my current relationship because it's so raw how I've noticed my own closure. Here I have this guy who completely adores me, but I was in these unconscious patterns of closure where like in my mind, I'd be like kind of secretly wanting to punish him. It sounds so bad to out yourself that you're doing this, because I guess on some level, like there was some pain from my own childhood, my own experience that was still unresolved. And I didn't consciously do this like, wow, I'm in pain, so let me project it onto you. But I started becoming aware that I sort of secretly was like miffed at him. So if a little thing would happen, you know, I always think you got to like look at the laundry test. If you're like folding someone's underwear and you're like, oh, I really don't want to do this, that's like a litmus test that there's something off in your relationship, because it may not show up in another area. You may not be conscious of it, but if you're folding their freaking underwear and you're like, oh, like it's going to come up there, because if there's resentment, if there's frustration, if there's like some anger you're harboring that you haven't brought forth, it's going to show up with the underwear test. And so you got to pay attention to that, because you might just like, oh, let me just get this done and get on with my life. But I started to see that I was living in this like, get it done attitude. Okay, yeah, we can make out later. I'm in the middle of whatever, I got to get it done. And that was my survival construct, as if I'm living in survival, which I'm not. Like we have a home, there's food, we're not in survival, you know? But then this part of me was like, no, I don't have time to pause and like really connect with you. I got to keep on my thing. And so that was so detrimental to my every aspect of my life, because not just like it was hurting my partner, it was deteriorating our relationship, but it was affecting our money, our just our lifestyle. Because until we drop in to the moment and feel the moment, like you get out of fight or flight, actually let in the breath, you don't have prosperity. It doesn't matter how much money you have or vacations you have or how great a guy you have, you don't actually receive it. And so you'll keep like diminishing everything. So when I saw that, and I read a book called The Queen's Code by Alison Armstrong. And it's such a profound book, and it was called Everything Out so distinctly. I was like, oh my God. Like I literally was, and I read it on my phone, you know, but I was like, I don't want anyone to see that I'm reading this, because that's what I'm doing. All this stuff, she calls it all out. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, that's me. So I had to have like a lot of compassion for myself. My mom basically lives in survival. Like, yeah. Don't touch me. Let's do this. Let's do that. And so their parents were Italian immigrants. They were living in kind of a survival, like, let's make sure we get it done. And that was my grandmother. Like, yeah, I have these five kids. I got to feed the kids. They were partners. They were not lovers. And so my mom could have had it so differently, but she lived as if she were doing the same thing. And it was like, we're partners. I don't have time for you. I'm not going to drop into my body and feel anything, because come on, we got a survival to keep up. And I saw myself doing the exactly same thing. And it was like, oh, but the pain of meeting the present moment when you still have unmet fear and unmet pain, I mean, no wonder people avoid it. Because it's so intense. Yeah. If you don't know how to move through it, then you just keep trying to avoid.
For sure. Wow, so many gems there. Thanks for sharing. The underwear test, that's brilliant. I'm really gonna sit with that one after this and see how I felt in the past when I was doing those types of things. So like in your practice and with people that you work with, like what would you say is like one or two of the major relationship issues that people come to you with? And why do you think those are so common?
Numbness. People numb out from sensuality. So they won't feel their turn on. They won't feel their anger. Right? They won't even feel what's there. No, we're great. It's good. And you know, like well, something off there, but she believes it. She has no awareness of what's actually in the system. And so we've got to become resensitized. We've got to begin to let in sensuality, because our sensuality and our feelings are going to lead us to the unconscious energies that we're holding that are affecting and creating everything and blocking love and prosperity. But if we're numb, we have no clue. We're just like innocent victim. Why is this happening to me? I see it a lot of times with people with severe illness. I'm trying everything. You don't understand. I've done everything. I am willing. But they're so disconnected from what is really in their body, what they're feeling and sensing. And so they're not aware, they're not sensitized, and you miss the power. You don't have the power to change anything. You don't have the power to manifest a great relationship if you're desensitized. So I'd say that's the number one. You know, there's a lot of reasons we go into closure. There's a lot of reasons we disconnect and desensitize. Like maybe there's trauma or there's a pain that was just too big for you to meet at the moment. And now it's 20 years later and you don't realize you've still walled it off. You could meet that. You could hold compassion for that. You could let the body move and catharsis it out, but you just have never considered that it could be otherwise.
Yeah. Wow. That's really great. I know. So in relationships, we see a lot of focus and attention for people who are maybe a little less aware and haven't done a lot of work on themselves, focusing on the shortcomings of their partners. And they come to us, you know, and asking, you know, how do I get my partner to change? How do I get my partner to do that? So there's a lot of focus and energy on the other person. Where's the most power that we have? And when we change ourselves first,
I think it's amazing how many people I've worked with that when they do the integrative work we're doing, they'll say, oh my God, my husband is a different guy. He got up, did the dishes, didn't even ask me, did all the things I've ever wanted him to do without my even mentioning it. They're relationships change, their bodies change. And so when they start with, oh, I wish my husband had this work, because if he just had this work then, so you're putting yourself in the victim position. The problem's outside me, but if it would change, then I'd be free. And so freedom is conditional. Pleasure is conditional. My satisfaction and fulfillment is conditional. And, you know, once you realize you're doing that, you could reconsider and make a new choice. Like, what if I'm the one who's responsible for my own orgasm? What if I'm the one who's responsible for my own fulfillment? And that doesn't mean you're doing it solo. It means that you are a creator and you can create it that your partner is totally shut down and resistant and you're disconnected, or you can create it that there's a massive opening and a connection. And so that happens from within you. And if you have a partner who is willing to go there, you're going to grow in your partnership. If you make that shift and you have a partner who's like, F no, they're going to either run the other way, like I got dumped. I mean, it's going to happen. And someone else will come in, or you're going to realize, wow, I'm not interested in this, but they'll be from a clarity versus from an escape, right? Like, well, if he's not going to change, then I'm just going to have to go somewhere else. But you haven't actually shifted something first. You're just going to recreate the same thing in another relationship.
So I have some really exciting news, and it's that integrated attachment theory training is back. In other words, you can be trained to become a relationship coach certified in integrated attachment theory in literally 60 days. So who is this for? Well, of course, this is for any individual who wants to make an impact and really be of service to others while also obtaining freedom and flexibility and abundance in their lives. And this is also for anybody who's already a counselor, a therapist, a coach, and just really wants to expand their toolkit. We've had so many people enter into the Integrated Attachment Theory program because they're just looking to obtain a certain degree of mastery in terms of understanding their own attachment patterns and also the attachment patterns of maybe their children or partner or other loved ones in their lives, so they can really support those people and understand them more deeply. Now, please keep in mind that the last two times we ran this program, we filled up very fast. In fact, we oversold the programs and sold up completely. So if you're interested, click the link below to learn more and dive in with me. And I'd love to see you on the other side before seats run out.
I know you have a video called How Relationships Help You Heal. So we're talking about how, you know, doing the inner work on yourself is obviously massively impactful and will help you change a lot of things. But in your video of how relationships help you heal, for people who are thinking, oh, well, I need to heal myself and be perfect first before I can get into a relationship. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to sort of how a lot of healing is done within the relationship?
Yeah, it is important that you're at a baseline of I'm willing to take responsibility for myself. Mm-hmm. A baseline of I'm willing to see the truth. You know, my intention is to see the truth, because a lot of times we're looking for a relationship because we don't want to meet our pain. And it's like a great escape. This person loves me, so I can avoid my pain for another 4 months and we're going to have this cool experience. So you got to look at like, wait a minute, what is my intention? So what's your intention? And are you willing to be fully responsible for your experience? Those are the big things. Beyond that, nothing really needs to be in place or improved upon for you to have a conscious relationship. So you're going to enter a relationship and you're going to be completely imperfect. And even like 10 years later of personal work, you're going to be completely imperfect, because the human is not supposed to be about what your mind says is perfect. It's supposed to be about nature. You know, there's a lot of trees out here in our mountain and like they all look different and they all have like these branching patterns that are nonlinear. They're not perfect. They're not the same. They're not symmetrical. Nothing in nature has what we call perfect, but there's perfection in it. There's growth and regeneration and beauty and the flow of the cycles. You know, the tree's going to die and go back into the earth and something's going to be born. So there is perfection in it. And so don't think you have to already be at arrived at some place, because your relationship will bring you there. I just had the intention for a conscious relationship, a relationship that was based in the organic, the true love, not like the neediness and we'll just fulfill each other so we can escape. And I had already dropped into the ability to see that I'm creating my experience, and I could keep doing it unconsciously and have another relationship catastrophe, or I could do it consciously. So don't make yourself wrong for what you've created thus far. It was mostly unconscious, but take responsibility here forward to create it more consciously. And then your relationships are going to show you things you're ready to see. They're going to bring things to the surface that you're ready to release. And so just be in flow with yourself, that you let that relationship bring up your past trauma and feelings that were buried, because now you can just breathe them and that energy will move. Show you some faulty beliefs you're holding about yourself, or closures that you're clamping down because you protecting. If you're going to choose love, you're going to choose to open. And so you can let your relationship point out all the closures, point out all the scars that need healing, point out all the emotions that need breath, and you become more whole.
Wow, that's so lovely. This is making me want to go out and get into a relationship right now. I'm single at the moment. I'll be honest, I have some associations to relationships being lovely, wonderful, and amazing. And then some associations that are not, you know, in line with running towards a relationship. But the way you're speaking right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to really focus on these better aspects of it. Okay, so again, with your YouTube channel, which I'm going to link in the show notes, I hope everybody checks out Dr. Kim's YouTube channel. So I want to touch on the video called Gratitude Practice to Shift Relationships. Do you want to share a little bit about that, of how like a gratitude practice can actually help shift your relationship with another person?
Yeah, it's actually similar to when we do our Embracing Health group. This is where I work with people live over the year. And as I mentioned, you know, would you be willing to be thankful for the result that hasn't shown up yet? When we are grateful, it ignites a change in our body. And we are pure energy, not only physical. And so we're electromagnetic. So there's a shift in your electromagnetic signal that can be picked up 8 to 10 feet away from the physical body that will register the frequency of your emotional state or your intention. And if you are willing to be in gratitude, be grateful for something, even if it hasn't shown up yet, it will shift your electromagnetic transmission. And that's important, because not only how people feel you and behave toward you, but how your physiology is set up. You know, is your physiology and vitality health, detoxifying and, you know, creating healthy hormones? Or is your physiology kind of jumbled up and inflamed and beginning to be toxic and you develop disease? And that has a lot to do with your personal vibrational frequency. So if we're electromagnetic and we can detect that frequency, and we know emotions have a lot to do with that, gratitude is one of the highest emotions. And so if we practice, let's say, okay, I'm going to use my current relationship again, there would be things that just felt insurmountable. Like, oh, I can't believe he's doing this. And he just doesn't understand that. And it's like, how could I ever have him really get this? How could I ever really have him feel, you know, and understand me or have something change? And so what I would do is I would give gratitude for the assumed result. So it would look like this. Oh my gosh, I am so grateful we have had a resolution of that thing that felt so impossible and so like horrible that I had no idea how I could ever get beyond it. I'm so grateful and thankful something has happened. I've received a miracle. I've received a massive shift that's beyond where I was at and what I could have done. And I've allowed something to come in and make a massive, amazing, beautiful shift in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I would get into the energy of the resolution. And sometimes it would be minutes. Sometimes it would be days. Some bigger things, it's been years that it fully completed, but started to see sparks of it right away. But all of it's been freaking amazing and truly miraculous. Because from the frequency you're at, you're like, there's no real solution. What do I do? If you find yourself complaining about your partner or your relationship, that's an indication that that's where you are in that lower frequency where the solution doesn't reside. So how do you get into the consciousness where it does? And gratitude is a really powerful way to do that. You literally shift your frequency, you shift your consciousness, you shift your brain states. Yes, you shift your physiology, your hormones, your genes, everything. And you will certainly see a shift in your relationships.
Wow. And when you're doing an exercise like that, are you like putting pen to paper? Are you visualizing the result as well and really trying to feel what it would feel like? Like what sort of...
I most importantly let myself feel it and I'll get to a place where I actually feel, thank you. Thank you. My gosh, this was such a conundrum. Thank you. Wow. It's unbelievable. And I'll let myself feel a shift. You could do it pen to paper and journal and write it. But the important thing is you let there be an actual physiologic shift. You start to feel that lightness. That's the indicator that you've shifted the electromagnetic frequency.
Wow. That's so beautiful.
Your body.
That's right. Wow. Okay, so I want to talk about your partnership with your husband. How many years have you been married to Dr. Kim?
Married 11 years.
Wow, that's amazing. So, you know, I follow your Instagram. I see such wonderful pictures of you and your family. And I know you and your husband have such a great relationship. What are some like tools or strategies or perspectives? Like, can you just share maybe something?
Yeah.
What's okay, the secret, secret sauce?
I will tell you. We started working with a woman named London Angel Winters, maybe four years ago. And that work, I read her first chapter of the first book they had written, and I would change my whole life, change my whole sex life, change my whole way of relating with my husband, change my whole way of relating with myself. Like it opened up the whole universe. They now just published their second book. It's called Playing with Fire. You don't have to read the first book. I think, and I'm adding it as a recommended, I have a recommended reading list for my Embracing Health course. I'm adding it to that list because it was so powerful. So when I got introduced to her work, I saw my same work in it as far as like what I've been teaching about the health and the body and manifesting and creating and power. But I just didn't as clearly know how to apply it to my relationship. So basically, you resensitize. You let yourself enter that feminine, which is the feeling and sensing, as well as the masculine, which is the seeing and the awareness. And a lot of what I had as my go-to for like spiritual practice or kind of like handling anything was all in the masculine. So, you know, get out there and get it done. And you're like putting work into something. You're learning. Let's solve the problem. And that masculine energy is great, but you need both. the feminine is about being a receiver. It's about softness. It's about sensing and feeling. If you don't have both, there's just no way your life's going to work. And there's no way you're going to have an awesome sexuality, because two people in masculine energy is not going to create the polarity of sexuality and the energy currents flowing through your body with great sexual experience. It can't. Doesn't mean you can't do the polarity with two women or two men. You can. Both of us have masculine and feminine energy. But when I finally learned, like, oh my gosh, I've totally numbed myself down, been in closure. I'm not in my feminine feeling, sensing, sensuality nearly to the degree that I could be. It just was like, we're partners, right? We're like raising our kids. So the masculine or alpha, the masculine's the alpha, the feminine's the omega, right? They're both equally essential and equally powerful. But parenting is alpha. Like, oh, you're going to pick Gemma up? Oh yeah, it's going to be done at 2:30. And then she's got to go to biking and then blah, blah, blah. Okay, got it. Blah, blah, blah. You're parenting. Like, what are we cooking for dinner? What time will you be home? That's alpha. That's managing. You're in the mind. You've got to learn to repolarize if you're now going to be like, ooh, let's spend an evening together. Let's have a sexual encounter. Let's be excited about each other. And so, yeah, we'd go on vacation. It would be there. But then we'd be in the home and it's like, wait a minute. The physiology is working fine if we're in Puerto Rico. What about if we're in Colorado? And so I had to learn. And so one of the practices is basically to sensitize. I feel, I see. And so we sit together and we basically drop into the body, get to feel the body, and you begin to resensitize. So a basic way I could give it for our people here, we have it in my course. It's called Alive Woman. We go way deeper into this, as well as the practices I've used to manifest that relationship and what we do to strengthen our relationship as a couple. So whether you're single or you're a couple, this is really powerful. But in basic, you presence your body on the in-breath, you presence your body on the out-breath, you set the timer for 20 minutes or 10 minutes. You're going to breathe in, you're going to breathe out. As you're breathing in, I feel what I feel. Maybe I feel nothing. Well, I'm just totally numb. You're breathing in and bringing the sensation. I feel the breath just coming into my chest, not really coming all the way down. I feel there's tension in my shoulders. I feel my leg is numb. You know, it could be anything, but you'll go deeper and deeper and deeper until, wow, I feel so much sadness and emptiness, right? You're just resensitizing to feel the moment. On the exhales, I see. So you don't have to do this at the same time. You could do the first 5 minutes of I feel and the second 5 minutes I see, but you exhale, I see, I am fiercely committed to my own awakening. I see, I have this pattern of projecting onto my partner. I see, oh, I'm deeply craving a change and I'm so frustrated. I see that I feel things very intensely and I really care. So you just let those two things in, but you do it with breath, right? You don't have the breath, you're screwed, because you're going to feel a whole lot. And it's like, I'm just on this like roller coaster ping pong ball bouncing all over the place, which is where most empaths live their lives, victim, and it's tumultuous. Or I see, you can have all the insight in the world, but now you're effed because, like, God, I got 25 years of major trauma with my dad and I'll never have it right in a relationship, right? With everything you start to see, you're like, I'm going to need decades of therapy. No, bring the breath. The breath transmutes what you feel and what you see, and it brings you back to wholeness. So that was huge for me because I didn't have, like I said, the spiritual path was more about like transcending the moment. Wait a minute, we're going to embody the moment? We're going to drop into the feelings and sensations? No, I got to get over them. No, you can't. What you resist persists. You've got to move into them to transmute them.
Wow, that's so amazing. So many good nuggets in there. And thanks for outlining that exercise. With the masculine and feminine energy, did you sort of realize you need to be in balance and then that brought you a partner who was in balance? Or when both of you came together, you both have the realization that you know, we need to both be in a balance? Or did you have to show sort of him how to do that?
It's an intention. Like I have a partner who is also, we made this intention when we got married. Like, why are we doing this? What is it for? What is our marriage creating in the world? And for both of us, one of the intentions was it brings us greater awakening and greater authenticity. And we, you know, there's a lot of reasons people get married, but you got to look at, do we have the same reasons? Do we want the same thing? And so I knew that this person was committed to authentic love. Doesn't mean every moment was bliss. Like it really wasn't. It was like, ah, because when you choose an authentic relationship, it's going to bring all that stuff up to the surface. You're not going to bury it under the rug and be like, oh, we're this perfect couple. Don't we look beautiful? No, the reason we are glowing is because we've let all the shit come up and we've given it breath and we've given it love and we've let it move. And so that intention, yes, we had. So at least you have the foundation of the shared value. And then when we do the polarity exercise, I'm by nature more feminine. He's by nature more masculine. A lot of women will mistake and say, oh, no, I'm more masculine by nature. I'm running my business. I'm getting it done. I'm in charge. Whenever I'm with the guy, like I'm picking the restaurant, I'm calling the shots. But if you ask them if they're really fulfilled with that, they'll tell you like, oh my God, I keep dating guy after guy that I'm supporting them. I'm the one buying the house and they're living in my house, but they're resentful about it. A true masculine being wants to provide. They're fulfilled. Let me go get it done, honey. You have this meal. You have this thing. You do it. And she's in her pleasure. Oh, thank you. I love being in this beautiful home, right? And it fuels him to go and be more productive. If the man doesn't have a muse, it's empty. Or if she's complaining, it's empty. And that's what happens in a lot of relationships. She's complaining. So you got to get the courage to be in your desire. Oh, I would love a guy who wanted to take care of me. I would love a guy who wants to really please me and love me. That's a feminine nature. So for a lot of women that think, no, I'm more masculine by nature, but they're complaining because the guy's not really showing up or like he's always in between jobs or she's got to afford their lifestyle. No, you're not naturally masculine because otherwise it would really fulfill you. So for us, we've consciously chosen how we go back and forth because we both have both energies and what do we truly want to cultivate together.
Wow. That's unbelievable. I'm learning so much here. I wish I could talk to you for hours, but we are coming to end our time here. Thank you so much. Kim, I wanted you to end with, let our audience and viewers know, like what services are you offering these days?
So we do a weekly live broadcast in the Mind Body community in Facebook, or it's also live in my YouTube channel, Dr. Kim DeRamo. That's Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Mountain. Everyone's invited to that. It's recorded, so you can view the recordings of that. It's called Mind Body TV. We do have our live year starting up called Embracing Health, which is about the embodiment of health and wealth consciousness. So not just for people who are very sick or chronic illness or chronic pain, but also for people who are ready for a new level of prosperity and creatorship. There is a DIY program, which is like a home study program. I mentioned the Alive Woman. That one is all centered around what we've shared here with the relationships, establishing polarity, creating divine partnerships, whether it's friends or other things, that you have authentic partnerships. One person just shared this morning after doing the first exercise in the Alive Women program, the very next day, the house of her dreams manifested. She's like, I've always been renting apartments. I now have this beautiful house. It was my dream home. And the exercise she did in that program, because you go really deep and really releasing a lot subconsciously, allowed that manifestation. So it's very, very powerful what lives within us. And when we unleash, what amazing things can come out. And that one is at drkimd.com/alive. That program also has the partner exercise, how to do it with a partner, how to do it as a solo. And that can create so much just as an individual.
Wow. Unbelievable. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being here today. We'll put all your information in the show notes for anyone that wants to connect with Kim. Kim, again, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. And
thank you for having me.
Of course. And thanks everyone for tuning into today's episode. I hope everyone got some great tips. I know I did. And I hope to see you on the next episode. Thank you so much for being here.